Morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning. My name's Matt. I'm one of the staff here at North Coast Church. It'd be good to have that Bible reading open. We're working our way through John's Gospel at the moment, but we need to ask God to help us. So let's pray. Let's ask for his help as we come to his word this morning. Father, we ask for your mercy now as we come to your word. We praise you that you're a God who speaks. You haven't left us in the dark, and we ask, Father, please speak to us, change us, grow us, give us eyes to see what you're doing in your world, for your glory, for our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my son Sammy loves to help me work. Whatever I'm doing, he loves to do too. It started very early and it continues to this day. Actually, yesterday we were in the backyard. He's helping me and Kinney, my wife. Whatever we do, especially what I do, he wants to do. So if I'm in the backyard with any tool in my hand, he will run up to me and say, "Daddy, can I help? Let's do this." We've dug holes together. We've mowed lawns together. We've built a cubby house. Whatever work I'm doing, he wants to do as well. My favourite job we've done together is chainsawing. I love chainsawing and chopping trees down. So I remember one time we were at the grandparents' place. It's a bush block, and I decided for some reason I'm going to chop this tree down. So I grabbed the axe and I'm about to chop it down, and all of a sudden Sammy runs out with one of those little axes. You know, those little tiny things. "Daddy, Daddy, can I help?" He wants to help, and so we cut some trees down, obviously. Why does Sammy want to help me when I'm doing work? Well, I think it's at least two reasons. One, I'm his dad. We have a connection there. He sees something Daddy doing, and he wants to do it too. But it's more than that. He also wants to do it because of the nature of the work. He sees his daddy doing something important, something good, and sometimes even very fun. And he thinks, yes, I want to do it too. And it's the same with God. If there is a God, if he made all of this, and he made you, and he made me, we're connected to him. But more than that, if God has a purpose in his world, a work to do that is good and important, then it makes sense, doesn't it, that we ought to be involved in that work too. Whatever work God is doing, we ought to be involved in that work too. And that's what our passage this morning is all about. The most important question for us this morning is, what does God do? What is the work God does, and how do we get involved? That's what we see this morning. So firstly, the work of God is to gather people for eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you didn't come last week, you'll notice we're in the middle of a story in John chapter 4. And last week we saw that Jesus has left Judea and he's going to Galilee, but it's basically you have to go through Samaria to get to there. So straight through in terms of a map. And he meets a woman of Samaria, a very large woman, as I said last week. A woman of Samaria. If you didn't get that, ask the person next to you. I can't help myself, I'm sorry. So he meets this woman, she's from Samaria, and he's been talking to her, and he said something amazing to this lady. He said, "I can give you living water." That is a massively, hugely packed phrase from the Old Testament. It means life flowing from God himself. Jesus has said to this woman, "I'm the one who can give you life forever, flowing out of you from God." But the woman hasn't got it. She didn't understand what he's talking about. She thinks, "Give me the water so I don't have to come back to the well." She's thinking down here, human level, physical needs. And Jesus is up here, spiritual level, spiritual needs. Jesus is saying, I'm the one who comes and gives you life forever. I'm the Savior King who brings in God's kingdom now. And here's the big idea we saw last week. Jesus brings God's future age of the Spirit and truth into our present reality. That's what we saw last week. Jesus busts in with a new realm. It's called Spirit and Truth. And so Jesus says, God is after true worshippers. Worshippers who worship in spirit and truth. And what he means is he wants people to come to Jesus and enter a new realm, God's realm. And here's what it looked like in a diagram, just quickly. There's the realm on the bottom that we live, the realm of the flesh of the world. And up the top there is the realm of the spirit and truth. That's where God is. And at the end of everything, that arrow on the right that's coming down, our realm finishes. And God's realm continues. But you see what Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection does? It busts in early. And so Jesus says this in verse 23, which we haven't got printed, but listen. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The hour is coming and is now here. Jesus busted in early. His life, his death, his resurrection brings the new realm, God's realm. And you and I must enter into it to be true worshippers of God. Now, in our passage this morning, the next bit of John 4, we see the way that happens. We see what that looks like when people enter into that realm now. And it's all about gathering. All about gathering. The work of God is to gather people for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you see the picture here. The picture is a harvest. Now, I used to be a minister in two churches in two small country towns. And that sounds impressive, but it really wasn't at all. But the two towns were Dongara and Mingenew. Dongara is just before Geraldton. It's a beautiful seaside crayfishing town. And Mingenew is 30 minutes inland from there. It's a wheat and sheep farming town. Now, one of the perks of being a minister in a farming town is that you get to play with the farmers' toys. And so we got to play with all sorts of things. I drove an awesome big trucks, motorbikes. My family took a flight in the crop plane. My favourite was probably driving one of the huge trucks around that they transport their feed around. But I also got to sit in a harvester while it was harvesting the fields. And I remember sitting in this humongous thing, huge harvester, looking out at the field. It's all ready and we're rolling over the top of it, harvesting all this crop. And I remember thinking, that is a lot of wheat. As the harvester chopped and chopped and packed the wheat into bales, I looked behind me. And what did I see? I saw wheat gathered together. When you get in the harvester, you look out at the field. What do you see? You see wheat. You see crops ready for harvest. And Jesus says, the fields are white, ripe for harvest. That is the work of God, gathering people. Have a look, verse 27. Jesus is talking to this woman by the well, and he tells us what this is all about. Verse 27, the disciples came back. They'd gone to the city to get food. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. No one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Do you see what's happening? The disciples get back from getting food and they're stunned that Jesus is talking to this woman, and she's from Samaria of all places. He's breaking the taboos, isn't he? What's going on? He's showing how big the harvest is. And do you see? the harvest is starting to happen, isn't it? What happens after this woman encounters Jesus? What does she do? She leaves her water jar. Now, that's crazy. You always keep your water jar. Something massive has happened in her mind. She's like, I've got to leave that and go tell people something. She runs into town to tell people, come, come, see. Is this the guy? Is this the one? Is this the king? And what's happening to, what do the people do? They come out to see Jesus. What's going on? It's harvest, isn't it? It's harvest time. Let's keep reading, find out more what's happening. Verse 31, have a look there. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? You see, again, we've got people on the wrong level, don't we? The Samaritan woman was on the wrong level. She's on the physical level. Nicodemus in chapter 3 is on the wrong level. He's on the physical level. And his disciples are also, where's the food? Jesus tells us exactly what the food is. He's saying, I'm on this level. I'm on the above level. You're on the below physical level. What does Jesus say? I have food that you do not know about. What's the food? He tells us. Look, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to what? Accomplish his work. Now he explains what that is. Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see. The fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. So I sent you to reap for which you did not labour. Others have laboured and you have entered into their labour. What's happening? Well, Jesus says, the food I'm talking about, the thing that sustains me, is not physical. It's doing the will of my Father. It's accomplishing his work. What is the work he's talking about? Simple, isn't it? It's harvest. Jesus draws this common day idea and says, that's what's happening spiritually. That's what I'm doing spiritually. Look around, farmers. Most of us don't know what he's talking about. We don't know, oh, 4 months, here comes a harvest. But if you hang around a farmer long enough, you know that's the thing they're waiting for. A harvest is the good time. He says, look around. Where are we standing? We're in the middle of Samaria. We're in the middle of people who have no clue about God. And what's happening? People are coming to Jesus. The fields are ripe. Right now, he's saying, the one who reaps is receiving wages. It's happening right now. Harvest is happening. What's the gathering of fruit? What fruit is it? The fruit is gathered for eternal life. Right now, people are coming to Jesus and receiving eternal life. It's reaping. It's harvesting. You see what Jesus is saying? Open your eyes. Look around. For the disciples, he says, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you did not labour. Others have laboured and you enter into their labour. He's saying it's already been prepared. The disciples have been reaping, haven't they? They've been building on what others have started. They've been gathering Jews who had the Old Testament as sown into their hearts. They've been gathering it. But Jesus is saying, no, it's much bigger than that. It's not just Judea. It's not just converting and baptizing Jews. It's the whole world. The work of God is to gather people for eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if I'm in the backyard and I'm cleaning up the backyard, my son Sam sees me cleaning the backyard. And he knows I kick the footy in that backyard. But so he sees that my work at the moment is cleaning. I'm making the backyard all right and neat and tidy. He sees me cleaning the backyard and he goes, nah, I'm going to go on the couch and watch telly. He's not just dumb. He's missing out, isn't he? If you're not yet a Christian or you're not sure, can you see your life is not in line with what God is doing, you're missing out. What are you doing in your life? Think about it. What is my life all about? Put it alongside what God is doing. The work of God is to gather people in Jesus for eternal life. Your life is completely about yourself. Can you see how they don't fit together? Bring your life in line with God, with what God is doing in His world. His work can change you. Did you know there's a God? Did you know more than that? He has a purpose. He has a work that He's doing. Did you know what He's doing? Well, Jesus just told us. He's gathering people. He's harvesting. Do you know how God does that? It's through His cross. The cross where Jesus dies is the harvester. It's the way God gathers. At the cross, God says, come. The cross is where God forgives you, makes you totally right with Him. Jesus dies for your sins in your place. Why? To bring you to God. All across the world, people are being harvested. How? They're coming to the cross of Jesus. In Perth, Western Australia, it doesn't look like much, does it? The harvest is looking, doesn't look like much. But lift up your eyes. See. Look at the world. People are coming to Jesus Christ in abundance. And the question is, are you going to miss out? Are you going to miss out? Because at some point when I was in that harvester, the harvest stopped. The farmer packed it up and it was all packed nicely in the shed. Come to Jesus. Be gathered to God. Have eternal life through His death on the cross. Don't miss out, because at some point the harvest is going to end. And only people who are gathered into God's barn, God's heaven, will have eternal life. If you're not a Christian, you're not sure, don't miss out. If you are a Christian, it's a similar question for us. Is your life in line with what God is doing? The work of God is to gather people for eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing. What are you doing? Be a part of the work. The sower and the reaper, what do? They rejoice. It's a work of joy. Jump on board. Get involved. Be a part of it. Don't just sit on the couch while the Father's doing the work to clean up things. Get involved. Here's three ways you can get involved. Firstly, pray for the harvest. Did you know every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. at the Ministry Centre in Kingsley, we pray for 30 minutes specifically that people would be harvested? Just 30 minutes. Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. every Thursday of school term. If you can't make that, commit yourself to praying at another time for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Secondly, support the harvest. Give your time, give your energy, give your money. Commit to a church that is committed to harvesting. If North Coast isn't committed to harvesting, go somewhere else. But commit yourself. Support the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Thirdly, join the harvest. Come. Bring someone to search. Give someone a book about Jesus. Bust into a conversation with Jesus Christ. Join in. Have you ever led someone to Jesus? Have you ever come to the point where the lights go on in their heart and they think, that's right, I must be gathered to God in Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy than that. Pray for the harvest, support the harvest, join the harvest. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, lift up your eyes. Look around. The fields are white, ripe for harvest. Now in John 4, the harvest gets into full swing and we see how it actually happens. Secondly, people are gathered for eternal life by hearing and believing that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Have a look, verse 39, John chapter 4, verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I'd ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." So you see, there's progression, isn't there? There's a little bit of a process. Initially, the Samaritans hear about Jesus from someone else. Someone just busts out with it. The Samaritan woman says, "Hey, come, look, look." But it doesn't stay there, does it? They want more. So they go to the source. They say, "Please stay with us for 2 days." And what happens? Verse 41, many more believe. Why? Because of his word. They go to the word of Jesus. So let's break this down. How does this happen? Well, first, Samaritans hear about Jesus from someone. Then they go to the source. Verse 41, many more believe. And then we get this summary. Have a look there, verse 42. "It's no longer because of what you said alone," that is. "We have heard ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." See the process. People hear about Jesus from someone else. Then they go to Jesus in his word. They hear him speak. And then they get to know something. They believe something. What is it? That he is the Saviour of the world. People are gathered for eternal life by hearing and believing that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. When I was in that harvester, it was a huge farm. You got Mingenew, and then it's 20 k's out from that, and there's just wheat absolutely everywhere. How did the wheat get from the field to the barn? How did it get from living out in this kind of nowhere, blowing in the breeze, to tucked up nice and cozy in the farmer's barn? Answer? It was harvested by the harvester. How do we get from living on earth, blowing around in the breeze, not knowing what's going on, to tucked up in God's heaven, gathered to him? We must be harvested by Jesus Christ, gathered to God. And the way God does that is through the word of his Saviour King. If you're not a Christian yet, if you're not sure, here's the test. Which point are you at? Which point in the process? It's a three-step process here, isn't there? Hear about Jesus from someone, listen to his word, and then come to believe and know that Jesus is the Saviour. Which point are you at? Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Someone from here keeps telling you about Jesus. I hope so. Have you come to see him in his word? Have you heard him say in the Bible, "I died for your sins. I save you"? Have you heard him say in the Bible, "I am the way. I am the truth"? Have you heard him say, "I take the punishment for your sins so that you can be saved"? Have you heard the sweet, life-changing words of the cross? Sweet to your soul. And have you come to know that he is your Saviour? Not just the Saviour of the world, but your Saviour. My Saviour. Which point are you at? If you're a Christian, hopefully you're just saying, "Yeah, yes, yes, that's me. I know the work of God is to gather people for eternal life. I know people are gathered for eternal life through hearing and believing Jesus, that he is the Saviour of the world." Well, here's what we do. Work the process. Work the process. Throw his name out there. Tell someone about Jesus. The Samaritan woman, what did she do? It gripped her so much, she left her water jar and ran. She sprinted to the town. "I've got to find someone. Who can I tell about this amazing thing? I think I've found him." Has it gripped you to that point where you don't, "I've got to leave this. I've got to tell someone"? Or is it like, oh, whatever. I hear about this guy all the time. Have you been gripped by the Savior of the world? Can you see what God is doing? Have a look at your life, your work. Have a look at what God is doing, His work. He's harvesting people. That's what He does through the death and resurrection of His Son Jesus. And people are leaving everything behind so that they can tell someone else, so that they can bring someone else to see, to hear, to know, to believe that He's the Savior, not just of the world, but of you. My son Sammy loves to help me work. Whatever I'm doing, he wants to help. Why? Because I'm his dad. And he sees the work I'm doing and he thinks it's important, he thinks it's good, and he sees it's enjoyable. Can you see the work of God? Can you see how important it is? Can you see how good and sweet it is? Can you see the joy? The work of God is to gather people for eternal life through Jesus Christ. People are gathered by hearing and believing the word of Jesus and saying, He is my Savior. Jump on board. Lift up your eyes. Look around. The fields are white ripe for harvest. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for mercy. Often we are blind to what you're doing. We look at all sorts of other things. But Father, we ask for mercy that we might see, we might look, lift up our eyes and look around, that we might see the fields are white, ripe for harvest. We praise you that you are gathering people for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you've even gathered us. Father, may we leave what we're doing. May we leave the things that are of no use, no significance. And may we be gripped by Him so much that we must tell, we must bring, we might even see people saved for your glory and for our good in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.